Assalamu alaikum students. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology, the Virtual University of Pakistan and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to yet another lecture of financial management. We are going to continue our discussion on capital structure theory and the traditionalist's view of the markets, which is the realistic view of the markets. And today we will do some numerical calculations and computations for WACC, or the weighted average cost of capital. But before that, let me go over some of the earlier concepts that we have been talking about since we started talking about capital structure. You know, all of this discussion about capital structure and the whole concepts of leverage and business risk and weighted average cost of capital that we've been talking about over the last few lectures all started because in our film or picture of financial management we introduced a new actor, and that actor was debt. Now, it's a sad fact and a sad reality, but debt is a practical necessity in business life. Of course, as I mentioned, for strict Muslims, debt is forbidden. Riba is haram. So it is a practical reality that companies are forced to take on debt in the event of emergencies when they have to meet short-term expenses and investments, when they cannot raise equity capital from shareholders, friends, or family members. Companies might be forced to take on debt. And of course, that comes at a price, and that price is financial risk. And the possibility and the real costs associated with bankruptcy and financial distress. Well, keeping aside the social consequences, which is why Islam has forbidden riba, if you just take a look at the short-term and possibly medium-term financial consequences of debt, there are some apparent advantages, and we spoke about them. One such advantage is that when a company accepts debt, then the interest payments are tax deductible. So that is a tax saving or a tax shield. Another possible advantage of debt is that when a company increases its debt, and if the company's returns are healthy, in other words, if its EBIT divided by total assets is higher than its cost of debt or interest rate, then a small increase in the EBIT can lead to a very, very large increase in the return on equity for the shareholders. So there are some possible advantages of debt, and this is why you find that companies all over the world maintain a mix of debt and equity in their capital structure. This is why we are talking about capital structure in this course, because practically speaking, companies maintain a mix of debt as well as equity. Now, we spoke in the last lecture about the weighted average cost of capital and how it varies whether you are taking the idealistic view of Miller-Modigliani or MM, or whether you're taking the more realistic view proposed by the traditionalists, or what we spoke about earlier, the trade-off theory. In the case of Miller and Modigliani, the pure theory in which there are no taxes, no bankruptcy costs, and everybody has the same amount of information, then the value of the firm and its weighted average cost of capital is entirely unaffected by its capital structure or its level of debt. Therefore, the value of the firm is unchanged and the WACC is unchanged. Let me refresh your memory with the visualization of this concept through the next slide. If you take a look at the slide which shows the graph under the pure MM model of ideal markets, you'll see the cost of capital on the y-axis and the debt to equity ratio on the x-axis. The debt to equity ratio is a measure of financial leverage. To be exact, we define the financial leverage as xd, which is equal to debt divided by the total value v. Now, the important point to remember from the Miller-Modigliani theory is that the weighted average cost of capital in an ideal situation does not change. It remains fixed. Therefore, you see the straight horizontal line. However, naturally, even in the case of the ideal markets, there is such a thing as financial risk that arises because of increase in debt. And that is why you see the RD, cost of debt, and the RE, cost of equity, both rising as the firm becomes more and more leveraged. When you take a look at the slide, please recall the formula for the cost of equity, RE, which is equal to WACC plus D divided by E multiplied by WACC minus RD. This is an important formula to remember because it allows you to calculate the cost of equity under a simplified scenario where the value of the firm, the total market value of the firm, is unchanged. We then close the last lecture discussing the realistic situation, what the reality is like in the market. In the actual market, leverage does have an impact on the value of the firm, because when a firm takes on more debt and borrows more money, its level of financial risk goes up, its total risk goes up. Therefore, the required rate of return for the firm as a whole goes up, and also the cost of capital for the firm should go up. Now that should go up, but at the same time, when a firm takes on debt, when you take a look at the tax consequence, then there is a tax saving associated when a firm takes on more debt. So you're reminded of what we spoke about earlier, which was the trade-off theory. And please remember from the trade-off theory the important concept that there is a trade-off, or there is a conflicting or opposing effect from the taxes point of view and from the bankruptcy point of view. What I mean by this is that when a firm takes on more debt, then there is a greater amount of tax saving associated with the interest tax shield. Now that is an advantage of debt. But after a certain point, when a firm has taken on too much debt or an excessive amount of debt, then there is a very high risk of financial distress and bankruptcy. And after that point, the value of the firm does not increase. It stops increasing, and in fact it starts to drop. And that is what we showed by the upside down parabola in the case of the trade-off theory. Now the trade-off theory was talking about the value of the stock or the value of the firm. But when we are talking about the capital structure theory right now, we are focusing our attention on the cost of capital. The two, of course, are related. So let's take a look again at the graph that we looked at the end of the previous lecture, which was the situation for the real markets, the case of the traditionalist model. So looking at the slide, you'll see that the axes are the same as before, the cost of capital on the y-axis and the debt to equity ratio on the x-axis, which is a measure of the financial leverage. The thing to focus on is that unlike the pure Miller-Modigliani case, this time the weighted average cost of capital line is a curve, and it is a U-shaped parabola, and it has a certain minimum point. And that minimum point is a point for the optimal capital structure. This is the point at which the firm should operate in order to maximize the value of the firm. It corresponds to the same point that we spoke about in the case of the trade-off theory, which was the maximum value for the stock of the firm. Now, looking at this graph, you can also see the trade-off theory being represented in the shape of the WACC line. Initially, the WACC curve dips as you move from the y-axis at the point RE to the minimum point on the curve, you will see that the curve is declining and it has a negative slope. This is because its weighted average cost is being reduced. And the weighted average cost is being reduced because of a net saving from the interest tax shield. But then after a certain point, after the optimal capital structure point, to be exact, the firm has taken on an excessive amount of debt. And because of that, there is a cost of financial distress and bankruptcy cost, as a result of which the weighted cost of capital for this firm begins to increase again. So please keep in mind that there is sort of an inverse relationship. When the weighted average cost of capital for a firm goes down, that means that its value is actually going up. Please also note the formulas for calculating the weighted average cost of capital for a levered firm, which I have labeled as WACC L. That is equal to RD multiplied by 1 minus TC multiplied by XD plus REXE. And the major difference between this formula and the one for the case of Miller Modigliani is the presence of the 1 minus TC term, which is the tax discount rate. Please also note the formula for the cost of equity, or REL, for the levered firm. That is equal to WACQ plus XD multiplied by WACQ minus RD multiplied by 1 minus TC. Now, it's a bit amusing because we are going to be using a lot of notation, and we'll be using terms like WACQ and beta and risk, and I don't want you to get confused because we'll also be talking about variables like VU. WACQ, I certainly don't mean to WACQ physically or mentally. VU, we're not talking about virtual university, we're talking about the value of an unlevered firm. When we're talking about risk, we're not talking about risk in the Urdu sense. Risk in the Urdu sense is some sort of a return, whereas risk that we're talking about is the concept that we've been speaking about throughout. So, and finally, when I speak about beta or beta, I'm not talking about beta in the Bab beta sense. Naturally, I'm talking about beta or beta in the market risk sense. So please don't get confused by all of this terminology. So having cautioned you about the terminology that we'll be using for this lecture, let's move on to the numerical example which will help us to understand how we can calculate the weighted average cost of capital for a firm in the real world, and practically speaking. So if you take a look at the slide, we can go through the example. The example is similar to the one we introduced in the previous lecture. A 100% equity firm or unlevered firm has total assets of 1,000 rupees. It had a weighted average cost of capital for the unlevered firm of 21%. And since there was no debt, the WACC for the unlevered firm is equal to the cost of equity for the unlevered firm, which is equal to REU. This firm then adds more and more debt at an increasing cost of debt, because remember, as a firm becomes more and more leveraged, practically speaking, the banks get more and more concerned that the firm is taking on more financial risk, and the cost of debt and interest begins to rise. Now, we want to figure out what the levered firm's cost of equity, or REL, and weighted average cost of capital, WACC L, will be equal to. We're also given data for the cost of equity and the cost of debt and how it changes as you increase the level of debt. We're also told that the corporate tax rate of 30% applies on the earnings before taxation, or EBT, and that the EBIT, or earnings before interest and taxation, is equal to 300 rupees. Please note the distinction between EBIT and EBT. Now, the traditionalist theory that we're talking about for capital structure and the earlier theory that we spoke about, the trade-off theory, is based on practical realities. And these theories take into account both the tax effects as well as the costs of bankruptcy. You will remember that we mentioned that there are corporate taxes which apply to the firms and companies, and there are personal taxes that apply to the investor. But the net effect of both of these taxes is that firms are generally better off by taking debt, because debt allows them to pay interest which is tax deductible, and that is a tax saving. However, if the firms raise equity, then the dividend that they pay out to their shareholders is not tax deductible. So there is a tax advantage associated with debt. We also mentioned that the level of risk for a firm goes up when it takes on more debt, and that is a disadvantage, especially because it can lead to bankruptcy. So the increase in leverage will increase the level of risk of the firm, and that will change the weighted average cost of capital and the value of the firm also. Now, our logic for calculating the weighted average cost of capital for a levered firm, taking into account the realistic issues of taxes and bankruptcy costs and so on, has to be as follows. The most important thing to remember is that we can no longer assume that the total value of the firm is constant. We could make that assumption earlier on when we were talking about the Miller-Modigliani theory in its pure form in the previous lecture. But now, we cannot assume that the total value is fixed. So, what creates the change in the total value? Well, naturally, the level of debt in the firm is increasing. And not only that, but the market value of the equity is also changing because of that. You can't now just simply subtract the value of the debt from the total value of the firm to calculate the market value of the equity. That is what we did when we were working under the pure Miller-Modigliani model. Now, there's another problem you have to take into account, and that is that when a firm takes on more leverage and more debt, its cost of debt increases, and its cost of equity increases. And because its cost of equity increases, therefore the market value of its stock and its equity also changes. And we have to take that into account in our formulas. So let us look at the logic and the sequence in which we have to use the formulas in this particular case. The first thing you need to do, if you are interested in calculating the WACC for the levered firm under the traditionalist model, is that you need to calculate the value of the equity, the market value of the equity, which is equal to E. E is equal to the net income divided by the cost of equity, which is equal to NI divided by RE. Remember from financial accounting and our formulas for the profit, loss, or income statement, that the net income is defined as the EBIT minus the interest minus the tax, which is equal to the EBT minus the tax. So, in terms of the cost of capital ratios, net income or NI is equal to EBIT minus XD RD multiplied by 1 minus TC. And here TC refers to the corporate tax rate, XD refers to the fraction of debt in the capital or the leverage ratio, and RD refers to the cost of debt. After you've calculated the market value of the equity, now this is the critical step, calculating the market value of the equity, E, then it's straightforward to calculate the weighted average cost of capital, or WACC. That is equal to XDRD multiplied by 1 minus TC plus XERE. And please remember that the total value, the total market value of the firm and all of its assets is by definition equal to the debt plus the equity. And we're talking about market values here. The market value of the firm is equal to V, and that is equal to the market value of the debt, D, plus the market value of the equity, E. Please also remember the definition that XD, which is the leverage ratio, and is equal to D divided by V, which is equal to D divided by D plus E. And finally, remember the identity that the fraction of debt plus the fraction of equity has to equal to 1. So XD plus XD is equal to 1. Now, having gone through the formulas which allow you to calculate First, the market value of the equity, which is the all-important figure to calculate, because it is changing and it is affecting a change in the total value of the firm, the total market value. Once we have calculated the value for E, we can use that in the WACC formula to calculate the weighted average cost of capital. This sequence is important to remember. First, you need to calculate the market value of the equity, E. But in order to calculate that, you need to know what the net income is. And the net income has a simple formula that we studied in financial accounting and that I just went over. So please keep the sequence straight. First, calculate the net income. Then use that to calculate the market value of the equity, E. Then, once you have the value for E, you can then calculate the weighted average cost of capital, WACC, and that is the sequence to follow. Now, let's apply this sequence to a simple numerical example that I just introduced, and let us tabulate and calculate what the value for the market value of the equity and what the total market value of the firm and what the weighted average cost of capital of this firm is going to be like as you change the level of debt. So we're interested in seeing how the cost of equity and the market value of this firm change as you change the capital structure of the firm. So taking a look at the slide, this is the situation for the real markets presented by the traditionalist model. And if you take a look at the table, you will see on the top that I have shown the first four columns as givens. This data in the first four columns has been given to you. That includes the data for the value of the debt, the cost of debt RD or the interest rate, the cost of equity RE, and the EBIT, the earnings before interest and taxation. These first four columns have been provided to you because otherwise you will not be able to calculate the market value of the firm and the weighted average cost of capital. Now, if you look down the debt column, you'll see that I'm increasing the level of debt from 0 all the way to 500 rupees. I've already told you that in the first case where the debt is 0, that is the case of the unlevered firm. Naturally, when there's no debt, there's no interest to be paid, so the cost of interest is 0. In this case, you've been told that the cost of equity for the unlevered firm is 21%. And you've also been told that the EBIT for this firm remains constant and fixed at 300 rupees. We also know that we can calculate the net income simply because net income is defined as the EBIT minus the interest minus tax. And we can calculate the interest because we know that the cost of debt has been given to you for the other rows. So let us carry the calculations out and see what the market values and the WACCs look like. So for the first case of the unlevered company, the value of the equity is 1,000 rupees, which was also given to you. The market value of the firm is also 1,000 rupees. Why? Because there's no debt. So the total market value of the firm is equal to the value of the equity. And finally, the weighted average cost of capital for the entire unlevered firm is simply equal to the cost of equity, because again, there is no debt. And that is equal to 21%. Now, let's take a look at the more interesting case, which is when you increase the level of debt to 200 rupees. Then, we have to pay the risk-free rate of return for the loan, and that is 10%. Now, the cost of equity has also gone up to 22%. Why? Because the firm has become a little bit more risky. The EBIT remains fixed at 300 rupees. This data has been given to you, so now you can calculate the net income. That is equal to the EBIT minus the interest minus the tax. So the EBIT is 300 rupees. The interest is 10% of 200 rupees, which is 20 rupees. So 300 rupees minus 20 rupees is 280 rupees. And then you have to pay a tax, which we know is 30%. And so you have to deduct 30% of 280 rupees. And then you can calculate the net income, which comes out to be 189 rupees. We can use the net income to calculate the value of the equity, and that is equal to the net income divided by the cost of equity. So that is equal to 189 rupees divided by 22%, which is equal to 859 rupees. We can then calculate the market value of this firm. That is equal to the value of the debt which was given to you plus the market value of the equity which you just calculated. So the market value in the second row is equal to 200 rupees of debt plus 859 rupees of equity, and that is equal to a total of 1059 rupees. Please note that the total market value of this firm has gone up. When you've taken on more debt, the market value of the firm has increased. Why? Because of the interest rate savings. And finally, then, we can calculate the weighted average cost of capital for this firm using the formula that you saw on the graph and on the slide a little earlier. The weighted average cost of capital, then, is equal to 17.9%. And so, I won't go through the calculations for each one of these rows, but as you continue to increase the level of debt all the way up to 500 rupees, take a look at what happens to your value of equity. The value of equity is continuously decreasing. The value of equity is decreasing because the level of financial risk and the possibility of bankruptcy costs is continually increasing. Now let's take a look at what happens to the market value column. As you increase the level of debt from 0 rupees to 500 rupees, does the debt or the market value of the firm continue to increase continuously? No, it doesn't. The market value of the firm reaches a maximum point, and that maximum point is 1,113 rupees. And that takes place when the level of debt, the market value of debt, is 300 rupees. And at that point, the weighted average cost of capital for the firm is 16.8%. And this is the point for the optimal capital structure. Because after this point, the total market value of the firm, please look at the table, continues to decrease. And the weighted average cost of capital will increase again. So this is the best point for this firm to operate at. So please go over this table carefully in the handouts for these slides that have been emailed to you, because this table summarizes the entire formulas and concepts regarding calculation of weighted average cost of capital and market value and interest tax savings that we've been talking about. This sums up all the numerical calculations that you do, practically speaking. And again, the important point to remember is that when a firm increases its level of debt, then the market value of the equity generally continuously decreases, but the total market value of the firm, which is the market value of the debt plus the market value of the equity, first rises, reaches a maximum point, which is the optimal capital structure, and then it begins to fall again. And the reverse happens with the weighted average cost of capital. As a firm increases its level of debt, initially the weighted average cost of capital will fall because there is a tax benefit associated with interest payments. It will reach a minimum point, which is the same point as the optimal capital structure point based on the maximum total firm value. And then after that point, the weighted average cost of capital will rise again. Why? Because of the fear of bankruptcy costs and financial distress. So please try to remember the visual picture of the weighted average cost graphs for the traditionalists and for the Miller-Modigliani views. So let's take another look at the weighted average cost of capital curve for the traditionalist model, which represents the, or is a close representation of the real world, and try to take a photograph of this graph and place it in your mind, because it's an important one to remember. So taking a look at this graph, please note that the cost of equity, REL, and the cost of debt, RD, both increase at an accelerated pace. And since we are taking into account both taxes as well as the bankruptcy costs, the weighted average cost of capital is no longer constant or flat. In fact, it is a broad U-shaped parabola with a minimum point, which represents the minimum weighted average cost of capital, and that is the point for the optimal capital structure where the firm should operate. Now, let us do a simple example calculation for the weighted average cost of capital for the case of an unlevered firm and for the case of the same firm after it has taken on debt. And we will use the formula for calculating the net income, and after calculating the net income, we will calculate the market value of the equity, and then we will be able to calculate the market value of the firm, and from that we can calculate, finally, the weighted average cost of capital. So let's take a look at the slide. This is a numerical example for capital structure calculations using what is known as the NI, or net income approach. The starting point for this is the earnings before interest and taxation, or EBIT, of the firm. And that has been given to you. It is 100 rupees. And the corporate tax rate for this firm is TC, which is equal to 30%. Now, for the case of the firm, if it is 100% equity or unlevered, the cost of equity RE is equal to 20%. And we need to calculate the weighted average cost of capital for the unlevered firm, or WACU. First step is to calculate the net income, which is equal to EBIT minus interest minus tax. That is equal to 70 rupees. The next step is to calculate the market value of the unlevered equity, which is equal to EU. That is equal to the net income divided by the cost of equity, which is equal to 350 rupees. Then we can calculate the market value of the firm in unlevered form, which is equal to VU, which is equal to E plus D. And this market value of the firm is then equal to 350 rupees. And naturally, this is the same as the market value of the equity because there is no debt. Finally then, it's very easy to calculate the WACC, or the weighted average cost of capital, because there is no debt. So the WACC for the unlevered firm is equal to the cost of equity for the unlevered firm. WACU is equal to REU, which is equal to 20%. Now let's take a look at the more interesting case. That's the case of the firm which has now taken on 100 rupees of debt at 10% interest. Now we are interested in calculating the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm, or WACL. Again, the first step is to calculate the net income. And in this case, there is an interest payment. The interest is equal to the interest rate multiplied by the value of the debt, which is equal to 10% times 100, which is equal to 10 rupees. So then the net income is equal to 100 minus 10 minus 0.3 times 90, which is equal to 63 rupees. Next step is to calculate the market value of the equity, which is equal to net income divided by the cost of equity. That's equal to 315 rupees. There is a major assumption at this step. When we follow the net income approach, or the NI approach, and we are calculating the market value of the equity for the levered firm, we assume that the cost of equity has not changed and that it remains 20%, which is what it was for the unlevered case. This is a major assumption because you know that this is not correct. The cost of equity increases with leverage. In any case, we can then proceed and calculate the market value of the levered firm, VL, that is equal to E plus D, and that is equal to 415 rupees. Please note right here that the value of the levered firm with debt is higher than the value of the unlevered firm, and this is because of the tax benefit associated with the interest tax shield. Finally, then, we can calculate the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm. That is equal to RDL multiplied by 1 minus TC times XD plus REL XE, and that is equal to 16.9%. So the point to note here is that the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm with debt is lower than the weighted average cost of capital for the firm without any debt. And this is again because of the interest tax shield advantage that is associated with debt. So this was one approach that is practically used to calculate the weighted average cost of capital for a firm which has both debt and equity. And this was known as the EBIT or the net income approach. And remember the logic and the sequence of steps you need to follow in this approach. First, you had to calculate the net income, then the market value of the equity, then the market value of the total firm. Then you can calculate the weighted average cost of capital for the firm. Now, there is another approach. And this new approach that I'm going to talk about is known as the tax shield approach. It's also called the NOI or net operating income approach, but that makes it a bit confusing. I'd prefer to call it the tax shield approach because you start by calculating what is known as the tax shield. The tax shield is this tax benefit associated with debt, with the interest payments that are tax deductible. So in this new approach, the tax shield approach, step number one is to calculate the tax shield. Tax shield is defined as the corporate tax rate multiplied by the value of the debt, which is equal to TC multiplied by D. Now, strictly speaking, the tax shield is not exactly this, but I don't want to go into that level of detail in this course. Let's assume that the tax shield is equal to TC multiplied by D. Now, once we have the tax shield value, then there's a brilliant conceptual formula. That formula is for calculating the value of the levered firm directly from the value of the unlevered firm. In other words, this formula allows you to calculate what the market value of the total firm will be if it has a certain amount of debt directly from the market value of the firm in the 100% equity case. And the value of the levered firm, VL, is equal to the value of the unlevered firm, VU, plus the tax shield, TC times D. And this is a beautiful formula because you can calculate the value, total market value of the levered firm without knowing the EBIT and the earnings before interest and taxation and that huge table that we calculated in the previous approach. So this is the power of this approach that we're talking about, the tax shield approach. Then, of course, once you have the market value of the levered firm and you are given the value of the debt, then it's easy to calculate the market value of the equity because that is equal to the value of the levered firm minus the market value of the debt. Then you have all the variables and you can simply plug them into the weighted average cost of formula, which is the same formula as you used in the previous approach. So the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm is equal to RD multiplied by 1 minus TC multiplied by XD plus REXE. Now let's take a look at the slide so that you can go over these formulas more clearly. So looking at the slide, the first step is to calculate the tax shield advantage from debt based on the interest related tax savings. That is equal to TC multiplied by D. TC represents the corporate tax rate and D represents the market value of debt. Next step is to calculate the total market value of the levered firm, VL. That is equal to VU plus TCD. And here VU represents not Virtual University, please, but the market value of the unlevered firm. The third step is to calculate the market value of the equity, and that is simply equal to the market value of the levered firm minus the market value of the debt. So E is equal to VL minus D. You can then easily calculate the cost of equity, REL, for the levered firm, and that is equal to the net income divided by the market value of the equity. So in case you do not know what the cost of equity is, if the data has not been provided to you, then you can use net income data, which net income can be calculated from the earnings before interest and taxation. However, if you have been given the cost of equity data, then you don't need to know what the EBIT or the net income is. In any case, you can then proceed and calculate the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm, WACL, and that is equal to RDL multiplied by 1 minus TC multiplied by XD plus REL times XE. Please also note one more formula that is used often in this approach, and that allows you to link the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm to the weighted average cost of capital for the unlevered 100% equity firm. WACC L is equal to WACC U multiplied by 1 minus TC multiplied by XD. In conclusion, I just want to mention that there are many, many other formulas, shortcut formulas, that allow you to come up with estimates of the cost of equity and the weighted average cost of capital. These are shortcut formulas. They're not as accurate as the two approaches that we talked about earlier. And just for the purposes of completion, I can show you those formulas in the form of the slide. And in this list of formulas, I've also shown the link between the cost of capital and the values of beta. Keep in mind that just as you calculated a weighted average cost for capital, you can calculate a weighted average beta. The beta for the entire firm is equal to the beta for the equity times the fraction of equity plus the beta for the debt times the fraction of debt. So this formula for calculating the beta for the entire firm is similar to the calculation of the weighted average cost of capital for the firm. You simply look at the individual weighted betas of equity and of debt. So taking a look at this slide, let's go over some of those formulas that you might use. These are some of the shortcut formulas that I've shown: the cost of equity after tax and the stock betas. So you see those three formulas, the formulas for the REL, which represents the cost of equity for a levered firm. You can relate that to the weighted average cost of capital for the unlevered firm in the first formula. In the second formula, you can relate the cost of equity for the levered firm to the cost of equity for the unlevered firm. And in the third formula, you are combining the capital structure theory with the capital asset pricing model. And therefore, you can calculate the cost of equity for the unlevered firm and relate it to the market risk of the equity for that firm, or the beta. In the second group of equations, I have shown the formulas for the weighted average cost of capital after tax and the firm betas, the betas for the entire firm, not just the stock. The first formula allows you to relate the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm to the cost of debt for the levered firm and the cost of equity. That is our formula that we have been using in this lecture. In the second formula for WACC, you can relate the weighted average cost for the levered firm to the overall beta for the firm which is levered. That is the beta WACC L. So this is a combination of capital structure theory and the capital asset pricing model. And finally, just to note what I mentioned earlier, that the beta for the entire firm, or beta WACC L, is equal to beta D XD plus beta E XE. And here the beta is referring to the market risk associated with debt or equity, and XD and XE simply are defined the same way as we've been defining them in this lecture and before. So we have covered a lot of ground in this lecture, theoretically and in terms of numerical calculations and formulas. Please go over the slides that have been sent to you by email in the form of handouts, and go over the graphs and the formulas that we've spoken about. The areas to focus on are, for this particular lecture, the traditionalist model and the graph associated with the weighted average cost of capital for the traditionalist model, and how it has a minimum point, which is the optimal capital structure. The second important point to remember is regarding the EBIT approach to calculating the weighted average cost of capital. Remember the sequence of steps in the EBIT approach? That was one approach. The other approach is known as the tax shield approach, and that can also be used to calculate the weighted average cost of capital of the firm, depending on what kind of data you have available. In this tax shield approach, you start off by calculating the tax shield, and that is defined as the corporate tax rate multiplied by the level of debt, the market value of debt. After you've calculated the tax shield, you can then calculate the total market value of the levered firm, VL, that is equal to VU plus TCD. TCD is the tax shield, and VU is the market value of the unlevered firm. After you've done that, you can then calculate the market value of the equity. That is simply equal to the market value of the levered firm minus the market value of debt. And then finally, you have all the variables solved, so you can calculate the weighted average cost of capital for the levered firm. At the very end of this lecture, I went over some of the shortcut formulas which do not give you exact and accurate solutions, and also they are not consistent with each other. But depending on the data that you have available, remember that problem solving is a function of what information has been given to you and applying the relevant formulas in order to calculate the results. And for that, you need to have a conceptual understanding. So kindly go over all of these formulas and graphs from the slides. And if you have difficulty understanding, then you can read the more detailed treatment in Chapter 18 of Brigham and Gapensky. Please solve problems, because that is the best way to understand capital structure theory. With this, I close this lecture on capital structure theory. I thank you for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Virtual University of Pakistan, Ministry of Science and Technology, aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.